welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 276 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. We found a shed to work in, haven't we?
Yeah, it's quite difficult.
It's funny, man. Pacific World, business hub in world. Blimey, it's all go. We've got a train being assembled.
That's bizarre, though.
A mock-up of the new Merseyrail trains.
And a platform.
At the far end, and a platform for people. Yeah. So I think, actually, a week from now, you'll be able to come as a member of the public and have a look around. So keep an eye out for that. And then at this end of the building, there's kitchens being built and new offices. It's all going, isn't it? So
I think we should give a shout out for these guys whose shed that we're in.
Yeah, actually.
Is it Finsa?
They don't actually know yet. Finsa, F-I-N-S-A.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've let us, well, someone has let us borrow their shed temporarily. Because we had nowhere else to go. Because it's so busy. Even my office is rammed full of people today.
Yeah, loads of noise everywhere.
It's all go, man. But we're talking about hibernation, something that I quite fancy doing right now, actually.
Yeah.
This week.
Where should we go?
Yeah, I'll lie down. There must be somewhere where we can go in about 3 or 4 months snooze. Yeah. Longer, actually. We'll come on to that shortly. liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links for this and all previous episodes. All online at the website there. And if you sign up to the list, you'll get a discount code for the book and access to our free meditation files as well, and a few other bits and bobs too. How you been, Sean? All well?
Okay. I have a shout out to Nikki. Who is a therapist down in Port Sunlight, who took my body on as a project.
Oh yeah.
And she does like sports physio massage, and
she does your leg.
Yeah, and she does acupressure with her elbow, and she is strong. She is strong, and she has good pointy elbows.
Mm-hmm.
Which made me say golly gosh a few times, but but the relief, it's been amazing.
Really, like a new man.
It's like someone's turned the volume down on the pain.
Wow.
So I'm going to go there again next Monday and let it beat me up again and see whether I can turn the volume down a bit more, because I really want to get back on my bike properly.
Yeah, and, three goes on it, didn't you? And then it went.
I've been around on it a little bit, but and you were just saying before we came on air that you really like cycling in the winter. I've been thinking, well, I'd be able to do this in the winter, but maybe.
A lot of people say, well, what about the winter? What do you do then? And I prefer it in the winter because it's cooler. So you, as long as you've got some gloves on and a woolly hat, or maybe even like one of those snood things to go over your nose for when it's really cold.
Right.
Just to keep the cold off your extremities.
Yeah. Do you wear a helmet though, as well?
I do, most of the time on my way to work at least. Mm. But that keeps your head warm.
Yeah.
So just cover your nose up and off you go, because you've got this internal heating system that a couple of minutes in, you're feeling right as rain.
Yeah. Because I could just as easily be doing the bike.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, we'll come on to all that stuff because that's all related. We had an email from a listener who basically has been thinking a lot about hibernation, and we're getting to that time of year. At the moment, it's mid to late September here in the UK. So the nights are drawing in, and we've had a bit of a little mini heat wave because there's a tropical storm passing over, or the remnants of one in the last couple of days. But I think looking at the forecast next week, it's going to be low teens in the temperatures, and it's going to get cooler, but it happens, man, every year. So the message said, I've been thinking a lot about hibernation lately as the nights draw in, and I feel the need to sleep more and withdraw from social activities. I begin to feel more grumpy when others want me to engage in activities. So I suppose my question is it okay for us to hibernate? So why don't why don't humans hibernate in the same way that bears do, or
because we were never designed that way.
Do any primates hibernate?
Things like bears go into kind of a semi hibernation, don't they? I know they're not primates, but they're kind of high end mammals, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No primates that I'm aware of go into hibernation. There is a practice in yoga, which is called yoga nidra, which means yoga sleep. And when it's done properly, people have been mistaken for being dead, because your heart rate has become so infrequent and your breathing's virtually stopped and your whole system closes right down. And there are people that have been in nidra states for several days. I've known people have been in nidra for like 2 or 3 days. I've only ever done it for a couple of hours.
But
deep relaxation, but effectively suspended animation.
Mm.
I don't know how long you can stay like that.
Yeah, there's a cool BBC article that links to kind of the science behind why certain animals do and don't hibernate and why, how it can help them. And it also, it kind of indicates that it's almost like pressing the pause button on their immune system and on their aging process. It's almost like during those few months when they hibernate, they don't age at all.
Which made me think...
Which is interesting.
When we were talking about this before we went on air, and we were talking about people going to Mars and all the experimentation that's going on with, can you put people into a suspended animation? And that's for several reasons. One is it's a long way to go. It takes a long time to get there. So you'd be aging while you were going. But the other thing is that if people are in suspended animation, they don't need the food. So you can reduce the payload on the craft going there. So it takes less energy to get it there.
Yeah, yeah. To lift it off from planet Earth.
So it makes kind of sense. And that experimentation sounds pretty good with what's going on.
You had a little tale about a guy in Japan who had an interesting...
Yeah, yeah.
Experience,
yeah, this guy, yeah, guy in Japan who he'd been on a thing up in the mountains, and all his mates went down in the ski lift, and he decided to walk. And on the way down, he slipped, had an accident, broke his pelvis, and there was no one around to help him. And it was so cold, his body temperature dropped down to 22 degrees, and he went into suspended animation for virtually a month before he was found.
22 days, he said, or something.
22 days.
Yeah.
Was it 22 degrees? 20, whatever.
All right, something, yeah.
His body temperature dropped right down anyway.
Yeah.
So it was 22 days later, he's found. His heart rate was hardly detectable, and they're saying his system had shut down. They even suggest he had organ failure, but by the time they reheated him, he came back and has had a full recovery. And from him, the medical profession got into, this was 2006, they got into the idea of using a kind of hypothermia to do operations on people.
Yeah.
So that they will reduce people's body temperature to do operations. There are some that are quite specific, like brain operations and stuff like that, that you can do when someone is at a low temperature, that you couldn't if they were at a high temperature. And people that have those kinds of therapies, it could be anywhere in their body, but they will stay down in that cold hypothermic state where they're unconscious for maybe 3 or 4 days before they come back out.
Blimey.
Yeah.
So our bodies are capable of shutting down, but I guess we could talk for hours about the ins and outs of that, the science behind it. I guess what we want to get onto here is how do we combat the effects that our listener was talking about in terms of do we embrace winter or try and work out how to be less sociable and how to be shut away in the winter, or do we fight it and think of ways to kind of get ourselves out in the world and try and keep our energy levels high?
If you think of countries like Sweden, where the whole thing about hygge is a big deal, yeah, and hygge is like family gathering, and it's winter, family gathering round the fire, usually some kind of mulled alcohol going on, but lots of carbohydrate food, which is really, really important because that makes your brain secrete serotonin like you're out in the sun. There can be a weight gain in the winter for people. That's okay if they then burn it off again in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But what people are doing is they're gathering together, staying warm, and enjoying being with each other, but not in a pressured way.
Yeah.
The people that have the toughest time are people that are in that cold, dark environment, and they have to keep working. You know, you've got to do a 12-hour shift, and you're feeling on the ground.
Mm.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
I remember I had a temp job. It was a summer job, actually. Did I do some at Christmas? I might have done it, actually, 2-week stint over Christmas, really. Yeah, because I remember, and I was doing night shifts. It was in a factory in a food depot for Iceland frozen foods, actually. And I was doing night shifts for a while, and it paid really well, so I was like, oh, I'll do that. And I would go in to start the shift, having slept most of the day, I'd say 6 o'clock at night. And it was dark when I arrived, and then I worked through the night in this big, horrible warehouse that was refrigerated, a huge, huge fridge. And I would come out in the morning or whatever, say 3-4 when the shift finished, and it was dark, and I'd drive home and I'd go to bed. I'd miss all the daylight.
Yeah.
And then I'd start again the next, or I'd get a couple of hours daylight maybe.
Yeah.
And it just really freaked me out completely. And I know a lot of people that do night shifts or swap their shifts around It's not a really healthy thing to do, is it?
Mucks around with your sidereal rhythms.
Yeah.
If you think about people that work daytime, lots of people in the winter can go in the dark and come out in the dark and never see the light.
Yep.
And that's one of the biggest issues, is vitamin D drop. Vitamin D drops, we start to feel depressed, because vitamin D is the precursor of the serotonin, which is where the carbs come in, because the carbs make your brain secrete serotonin.
Yeah.
So people self-medicate with the carbs because they haven't got the vitamin D.
Mm.
Yeah. And taking a vitamin D supplement could actually make the difference.
Right, okay.
So you could keep your mood up by making sure your vitamin D level is right.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing where people say, oh, I'll nip down the health shop and get a load of vitamin D. It's much better if you go to your physician and get a vitamin D test so you know where your baseline is.
Yeah, okay. So yeah. Before you start popping a load of pills.
Yeah, it's much better to know where you
see
are.
See where you're at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But most people who maintain a high level of vitamin D maintain a high mood through the dark months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it'd be interesting, I don't know if anybody's done it, but you were talking about night workers. I wonder what people's night work vitamin D levels are like.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how that, yeah, it would be interesting research.
Yeah, research for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because winter blues is a thing for all of us, isn't it? And I guess, are some people just more prone? Some people are less sociable anyway through the summer, but it's kind of, it really highlights it through the winter months when it can become a problem.
But the local GPs around here get really cheesed off with me because I keep sending people to have vitamin D tests because I get people in the summer that are depressed, and before we do any therapy, I get them to do the vitamin D, right? And we know that 70% at least in this country are vitamin D deficient, yeah? We also know that we are, I thought we were the fattest, apparently we're only the third fattest country in Europe.
Okay.
And I think that's because people are depressed because they have low vitamin D, and then they end up overcompensating with carbohydrates, putting on weight, and then they feel more depressed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, makes sense. Do you know who the top two fastest countries were?
I can't remember. Like they were very small countries, very small populations. So
whether they were like Northern Europe, European countries, like for more Mediterranean or what?
No. It's us cold, dark lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a bit like when you go to France, you don't see many fat people.
Mm-hmm.
When you go through Italy, you don't see many fat people. Because people's craving for carbs, although in Italy people are pounding the pasta and stuff like that, they're not eating that much. You know, when you go to a proper Italian restaurant in Italy and you get a portion of pasta, it's very different to what you'd get in this country.
Yeah.
It could be a half or a third of what you get in this country.
Yeah, an $8 or €8 bowl of pasta in Italy is just the best thing in the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
yeah. Yeah. But it's a small amount of pasta.
Mm.
You know, they're not belting the carbs.
Like even the pizzas you get over there, yeah, I mean, they're big, but they're super thin, aren't they?
Yeah, very, very, very thin.
So you can just fold them in half and swallow them down in no time.
Mm.
Oh, man, you're getting me hungry now. while we're on the subject of foreign lands, I know we have this habit in the UK, and we talked about this before, of taking our summer holidays in the summer.
Which is crazy, isn't it? Why do we do that?
We've advocated in the past for some holidays in the winter, getting somewhere sunnier.
Yeah, if you're going to fly somewhere, why not go in the winter when it's really dark and horrible here and get a real boost of sunlight and vitamin D and endorphins?
I guess it's tricky. I mean, I know from my perspective, if we were to do that as a family, we get 2 weeks off at Christmas, but then Christmas is a busy time, isn't it, for families? Well, a lot of the time for us it is.
Yeah.
Things to do, people to see, stuff to buy, functions to go to. When's the next half term after that? February half term, actually, for us would be.
Well, that's interesting because for me, from a psychotherapy point of view, the worst months are November when people get the first hit of depression. But if it's been a lousy winter, it's February.
Okay.
February is the worst month.
That's the low point.
Yeah. If it's been a grey winter and there hasn't been much light around, by the time you get to February, people are queuing outside the door, you know, with depressive symptoms. That's when people's vitamin D becomes critical. But that would be the ideal time to go away.
Okay.
Yeah. And even if the weather in Britain during the summer isn't wonderful and it's raining and all that kind of stuff, you're still in a situation where there is a lot of light. because there's a long, we have long days. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really weird being in Qatar, because although it's kind of hot and sunny, the sun turns on at 6 o'clock in the morning, it turns off at 6 o'clock at night, and there's no twilight. It goes dump. Yeah. You know, it's like it's dark, it's like it's dark.
Yes.
You know, it's dark as light.
It's much more gradual over here.
Yeah, but we have that. We can sit out in the evening and we're still getting vitamin D, even if it's overcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a bit that's important. And as long as it's kind of warmish, so you've got your arms exposed and stuff like that, you're going to be absorbing the sunlight.
It's doing its job, eh? Yeah, yeah. So get out for a stroll if you can.
Mm. So let's go for holidays in February.
Holiday in February, I might actually try that. I guess I need to research how far you can get within a couple of hours.
The easiest kind of places to go in the early part of the year to get a good hit are places like the Canaries, you know, Tenerife, Lanzarote, those kind of places. It's a 4-hour flight.
A bit further than Ibiza or whatever.
But but the weather's going to be up in the 60s, 65. What's that in Fahrenheit?
In Celsius, I don't know, probably 19, 20, something like that.
19, 20,
which is about what it is today in the UK. Is it? 19, apparently.
Yeah.
Which is all right.
You know? Yeah, and it's very sunny.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah.
February holidays. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. What about in terms of loneliness then? I mean, because Christmas for me is like, and yourself, it's full on family time, which has its ups and downs of its own, which we could talk about.
Yeah.
But for some people, that kind of loneliness can be heightened when you've seen nothing but adverts and you're glancing in windows and you're seeing people drinking mulled wine and all that, and you're maybe sat on your tod or you haven't got anyone to go to. It can compound the effect of loneliness.
But I'm going to go back to vitamin D. You know, is this listener or other people that are listening down and feeling like they need to isolate themselves because they're feeling flat and horrible because their vitamin D's low?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that is a real starting point for anybody who's dealing with winter issues. But then the next thing is everybody's energy levels drop in the winter. Even the most positive person will slow down.
Mm.
And maybe belt the carbs. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a case of being aware of it, doing what you need to do. And then in the spring, when you get going again, the weight comes off.
Yep.
So like weight on in the winter, weight off in the spring. One of the things that was interesting when we were just reading through the research is if you look at SAD syndrome, which is the seasonal affective disorder, and it is people that have vitamin D problems that get it. So the people get depressed in the winter months. The suicide rates are highest just after that. And it was interesting that, because when someone is depressed, it's like a curve going down. If they're at the bottom of the curve, then they're inert and they can't do anything. It's only when they start to get better that they're in risk of suicide. Because when they're at the bottom, they don't have any energy to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's only as they start to get better where there is the danger time, you have to be careful. And that is the point. Apparently, just as we're coming out of the darkest and people's serotonin levels are starting to build, is when people, if they've been depressed through the winter because they've got SAD syndrome, the time they're likely to kill themselves is actually in the spring. It's going to be in March, April.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Yeah. Flipping
out. Which is really weird.
Just wanted to keep an eye on people you might be a bit concerned about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because when they're really, really down and flat, they haven't got the energy to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, I worked from home for years and years, and when we had the apartment down in Birkenhead, there would be periods of like 3 or 4 days in the winter when I might not leave the apartment at all. Stuff was being brought to me, you know, Bethan was out and about at work and picked stuff up from the shops on the way home. It was really, I didn't enjoy it at all, even though I could have at any point just got up and gone out for a stroll. I didn't, because I don't know, it's not that easy, is it?
But that's when your energy is really going.
Yeah,
and that's where willpower comes in. I mean, I hadn't run obviously at the moment, but when I was running full time, as it were, and running through the winter, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'd get up and go for a run at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Nobody about. Streets all kind of glistening with frost and stuff. Be the odd person walking a dog. That's an amazing thing, and it really did raise my mood for the day.
Mm.
So I could bounce into the workplace going, "Oh yeah," and they're all going, "Hello, all right."
Yeah, what's up with you?
Yeah, really miserable.
Yeah, well, likewise for me now, because I've got no option really but to help me bike and get, well, I've got to get two lads to school and then down the hill to the office. So, and yeah, I do enjoy my riding probably a bit more in the winter because it's a nicer temperature once you're up to speed. Mm. Once your body's got up to it, as long as you've got your hands, your fingers wrapped in gloves. Yeah, I love my ride to work in the winter, especially yeah, November, December time.
Well, I went out the other day because I wanted to just see if I could get my body going. Careful getting on the bike.
Yep.
And I did, it was about 7 or 10K, the round I did. And it really made me feel good, just getting my system going. Mm. You know.
It does, yeah, I'm going to keep on banging on about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that's it. It doesn't have to be cycling. It can be a walk. You know, if you get the train to work and you drive to the station, you know, it's a mile and a half. Just walk it. Once, just start by doing it once a week. Just yeah, it'll take you 20 minutes, half an hour.
Yeah.
Brisk walk.
Yeah.
See how you feel.
Or you could even cycle and park your bike at the.
Well, that would be the ultimate. Yeah, at some point. Mm. Yeah, because you could cycle that in 5 minutes.
You know, we were talking earlier on because they're building this carriage down here. And you were talking about putting your bike on the train. How feasible is that? I mean, if too many people turned up with bikes, wouldn't there be a riot? I mean, how do
Yeah, I mean, there are spaces on the current fleet of Merseyrail trains for bikes. You'll look for the little symbol at the door. Usually on every train, there's at least two carriages that have racks for bikes.
Right.
For two. Which I use quite a bit. But to be honest, yeah, I mean, if you look at countries where everyone cycles, like Denmark and Holland, most people will ride to the station and leave their bikes in these huge bike parks, and then, you know, once they get to the station where they get, they just walk to the office or even hire a bike at the other end rather than having to faff. They do have trains in Holland where there's no seats at all. They're just full because there's that much demand. It's just full of people with bikes.
Well,
but you know, if I'm going to Liverpool, I'll just leave my bike at the station and then,
yeah,
you know, rather than just walk to the.
Yeah, I'm thinking of being able to cycle out to Walton.
You can do it. Yeah, you'll be able to make space as long as you avoid like the rush hour in the morning.
Yeah.
When it's super duper cramped.
Yeah.
You'd be all right.
Yeah.
Give it a go.
Interesting.
Mm. And what about in terms of weight gain? Because not we all, but it's quite natural to. Even for animals that do hibernate, you know, they pile on the pounds for that three or four months.
But they're piling on the pounds because the fat is insulation.
Yeah.
So that your system is naturally looking after itself.
Yeah.
The issue isn't so much putting weight on in the winter. Obviously, you've got to moderate. You don't want to be like a balloon at the end of the winter. So you do need to be aware of it, but that's not the point. People's weight is likely to go up in the winter and then come down again in the summer, as long as you keep active. Ideally, during the winter, you do some exercise. We know the issue of if you raise your heart rate for 20 minutes, you feel better, but also you start burning calories. And how many people go to the gym? Yeah, and if you can maintain things like that, going and doing some Zumba or, you know, if you can't do a run, doing a walk, going to the gym, doing something to keep your body moving, then you will burn calories.
Yep.
You know.
That's basic stuff, isn't it, man?
Yeah,
science.
But the thing is that it's normal to feel down in the winter, right? But you don't have to feel down in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can do something
about it. Yeah, it's a choice, right?
Yeah.
You can stay in or you can go out.
Yeah,
and
there's times when you go out thinking, I really don't want to go out, and then you come back thinking, I'm glad I did that.
Yeah.
And that's the good stuff.
Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah. Hopefully that's addressed. Well, it's probably left more questions than answers, as ever, but you've got resource.
Yeah, I put up that article, which is about them preparing, and they're actually doing experiments, by putting people in warehouses and trying to hibernate them. But seeing whether they can get people to hibernate long enough or to go into suspended animation long enough to get to Mars. And I think that's a fascinating article.
Yeah, I actually haven't got a resource. I forgot to do one. So I will say, do the same thing. Well, there's been some interesting space news this week because SpaceX have announced the first manned mission around the moon. It's like a privately funded first manned mission around the moon.
Yeah.
They're not going to land, but there's some Japanese billionaire that's bought a ticket and he's going to take 7 or 8 artists with him on the trip to experience the
as he wants them to paint pictures of the moon.
So that's pretty cool. Interesting research, man. I think 2023, that's the schedule to go.
Yeah,
wow, this is exciting times.
I've got someone who's on a course that I'm doing, who the lads in Ed's office, who are nice guys, and they got this, what do you call it, virtual reality, is it?
Yeah.
VR. And this person on the course really, really wants to leave the Earth. So they've told her to come in, and she can put the helmet on and then do Google Earth and come off of the Earth. Have we discovered whether she can see the moon yet?
Yeah, you can't.
You can't.
You can zoom out from the Earth. But there is another app where you can zoom around the solar system, so we've got something for it.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
That's
amazing. You can pick planets up and plot them around and compare sizes of them and all that. Yeah.
That's phenomenal. Yeah. Amazing.
It's awesome.
Brilliant. Yeah.
All right, cool. Happy?
Yeah, I'm good.
livingthepresent.co.uk. Take a look for all the show notes and links, and do send us an email if you'd like us to discuss anything on the show in the future, in the coming weeks. We'll always try and squeeze them in.
Yeah.
Always looking for ideas. And we'll be back at the same time next week, eh?
Yeah. You take care.
Take care, everyone. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.